The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
We're in a parents and children quadrant this week and the weeks prior. We want to talk about one of the hardest jobs there is to do, and that is to be a parent. I want to say everything I say just clothed and covered with humility. There is not a mistake a parent can make, probably, that I haven't made. Not one. I mean, you think it up, I'm in there somewhere. See my picture. And I say that not to exaggerate my own weakness and frailty, my big mouth, my overpassion, my endless amounts of things. What I am trying to say to you is the same God that Marty, in essence, prophesied about in reading the scripture, the same Jesus is a loving shepherd. He is a tender shepherd, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light, and he knows how hard it is for us to take care of our beloved children. And he knows we will make mistakes. I'll start it out this way. This isn't the way I planned. But I can remember being about 18 years old. It's embarrassing to say the age I was at the time. I don't know that I knew the Lord Jesus Christ at the time. I hope I didn't. If I did, I apologize for the 800 millionth time. We were a family of three boys. You know, we were aggressive without getting into that. Some of that's personality. Some of it is the environment we were raised in. But we were so grateful and we were so loved in that home. And my mom had given her life for us and my dad had given her life for us. And she comes home one day and finds us all fighting. I'm 18, 16, 14, basically full-grown men. A mom has poured her life out on, and they are not mature enough or well-behaved enough not to get in fist fights and craziness in her house. And here was her response. You don't spank. You don't react in anger and rage. That, walk away if that's where you are. What she did was she just began to weep. In front of us. Never forget it. I'll never forget it. There could not have been a more powerful rebuke of my lifestyle and the way I was living. When I say I'm living crazy, that's just a part of the story before Jesus came in. And Jesus had a lot of work, a lot of sculpting to do to fix the mess that I had made of myself. My parents hadn't. I had done it. I was the problem. They were loving and warm. Always. They believed in us. Our issue was not self-esteem. Our issues had to do with indwelling sin, weakness and frailty, and really not a knowledge of the King, nor a relationship with Jesus. We were not filled with him. We were filled with ourselves. The books my family used, and they're here today. If you like them, talk to them about how they were raised, how mom and dad, all the bad things we did, and then they'll tell you that they were, I believe, loved endlessly, almost filled with an impossible love from us. I hope they knew that. I believe they did. And it gave them something solid because it was Christ's love dwelling in us, the hope of glory, that gave them an opportunity to think about life. And I will tell you this, for all of their faults and failures, they all love the Lord. And I admire them. I admire them. And God has used them to his glory in a very dramatic way. So I am filled with nothing but humility as I stand before you this morning and have to talk about the shaping of the human will just a little bit. Now, rather than to go into the detail of it, I don't really intend to do that. I'm just going to do a broad pastel of a palette of colors here. But one thing that helped us along the way, I'm going to show you the books that made a difference. On my shelf, there are massive amounts of books. I don't even want to get into that too many. This is called the Picture Bible. My children knew the Bible from the time they were tiny and little because their mom, who's probably the greatest mom who's ever lived, put this before them. We got it for them. It's a comic book Bible. And whenever they were in Sunday school, they knew everything. They definitely, in terms of the structure of the Bible, knew more than the dad. It was rather scary. This is a great book and resource for you. Then my raising of my children was, I hope, an attempt, perhaps a lame attempt, but an attempt nevertheless to raise them in a biblical way as best I could see it. And I knew that was about Jesus, who gave his life for us, so that's part of the mix. And he was humble and he was tender. I knew that was part of the mix. But I also added to that a Dobsonian view of life. James Dobson, many of you won't know him. It was a different generation. But he spoke for us and for the scriptures. He was an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Southern California Pediatric Center. Then he was working in the Children's Hospital in LA, working with genetic issues. He had all the possible credentials, the doctorates you need to be impressive in that academic area of his life, but also a simple but profound faith in Jesus Christ. And just to speak for him, one time he brought his family to a place he was teaching right like this and telling them how to raise children and waxing eloquent, and it was energetic and really potent. He was hitting every ball out of the park. And he stopped afterwards to gather and answer questions. And above him in the back thing, there was one of these choir lofts. And they heard a gigantic crash and saw his two kids running up and down like maniacs behind him. You know, that was the last time, by the way, he brought them to those kinds of gatherings. He wasn't able to fix it. He simply had to kind of fudge it and move it to the side. Dare to discipline, always on my shelf. It's too good. It's profound. Use these. Please get them. Dare to discipline. And just use it as a reference. You spend 5 minutes with you, you'll get the ideas. Some are profound. A second one I've used, and I push this all the time. This is by Dr. James Dobson. This one is Child Rearing and Personality Development by our foremost, as best I know, national psychiatrist. I refer to it constantly in developing children and love and their character and also caring for them and giving profiles that you can read in 5 minutes that help you with children. They have the profiles of why often children become alcoholics or drug addicts, and you can avoid those pitfalls if you know what's in the book and in the book. So there's two for you. I also have hide and seek, which has to do with children's esteem, how to build self-esteem in your child. And I would say in a world that wants to tear them down, this is a way of considering how to build them up. So in full humility, my first disclaimer is that I am profoundly in the same place you are, in need of the Lord every day. Here's what I believe. The Bible says, and what has informed me, I believe that homes need warmth and boundaries. They need warmth and boundaries. Another way to put it is two L words, love and limits. Thirdly, children need roots, a place to come home to, a place that's safe, and wings. We do not want them to bind them to our aprons, to keep them dependent on us, that they will always be scared in life, or take them apart so much verbally that they have no confidence in themselves and become perfectionistic and fearful. We don't want that. What we want is love and limits, warmth and boundaries, and then finally, roots, a place to fellowship and come home to. My whole family gets together all the time after all these years. Roots and wings. They have to go out there and be, yes, a man in blue, a marine, a doctor. They have to make decisions that are life-threatening for people in very difficult situations. And if they're utterly dependent on you and not on the Lord, that's a problem, because you will not always be there for them. Jesus Christ, for the parents and the children, must be ultimately the wind beneath our wings. And we will have tough times in life, but if we can see those tough times, those challenges with our children and with our culture as forms of discipline, as things to draw us, to make us see our weakness and frailty, and then look to the mighty God to help us in our time of need, things will get better for you. This is a slight momentary affliction. But the scripture said, the apostle Paul said, led by the Holy Spirit, it prepares for us an eternal weight of glory. That's where Pat is right now. An eternal weight of glory and two wonderful kids. That young man sitting back there this morning is a person that manages the communication for some of our national systems of protection. That's what Wes Rogers does. His brother works with people, hundreds of people, delving into their lives and loving them and their children and what they do. God has put maximal amounts of responsibility on these two normal little humans who were raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And because of that, we give God thanks and praise that they keep us safer. Hebrews 12:5 says this, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? This is a disciplinary process this morning for us, in the best of the word discipline. Let me throw this in. James Spurgeon, if I have this right, was Charles Spurgeon's dad. And he was a wonderful minister of the gospel. There was a repetition of glory with these men and these women, these families. And Charles Spurgeon is, to this moment, the guy almost everyone in evangelicalism refers to because he was a gentle, loving, amazing evangelist. I suspect that the greatest preacher who has ever lived apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Spurgeon's dad did something offensive to his grandfather, who was a notable minister. And the grandfather, it was so shocking that the grandfather said, if you ever do that again, I will do something you will not forget for 100 years. Well, I guess the little Spurgeon felt that he'd done something pretty bad, but not bad enough to keep him from doing it again. And grandfather, who was his father, had thought better of the untutored, untempered comment he'd made, but he wanted to be consistent in his word, and so he said, come with me. And he took his son out to a cornfield, and he had told him, you will never forget this discipline. And he took a cornstalk and touched him twice gently on the cheek. And I said, I told you, you would never forget it. And we're talking about it here probably roughly 200 years later. And books are filled with that story. There are disciplines that are so tender and sweet and yet profound. The activity of convicting the heart can be a very subtle thing. And I would say this. Let me say this about discipline. It'll be repeated in Dr. Dobson's work. And I failed on this test. If you are in an angry or harsh mode before you ever discipline a child, don't discipline them. Just don't. Just walk out, do something else. This too shall pass. I've had impasses with my strong-willed sons where occasionally we don't get to the end of the discussion. I'm competitive, they're competitive, we're males, we're going at each other. And we step away, let the healing start. Didn't always happen that way, but I think of one in particular. Stepped away, the healing began, the hugs never ended. There was no retribution from dad and no continuing disrespect from the son. It's best sometimes to be as gentle as a lamb in terms of correction. Was I like that? No, not really. But I was consistent. I will say that. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not lightly regard the discipline of the Lord and be wearied when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son that he receives. There is a process of shaping the will and the life that happens in a walk with the Lord Jesus. Train up a child, it says in Proverbs 22:6, in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. My parents heard something from a teacher about me. This is a good story. There are plenty of bad ones. And this teacher, when I was tiny, said he has a golden ear. My mother heard that, and my mom loved music. And so she got me piano lessons, and there was a discipline to them. I was, at a certain time, 9 years old, 45 minutes in the morning, 45 practicing every day of my life in the dark. She took the instruction seriously, and she put me with a concert pianist, and to study with this guy cost a lot of money. She was shaping my will and the direction of my life, assessing my gifts and doing what she could. My dad was on Okinawa for 13 months, and she was the only one there in the family to care for me. But she wanted to give me every opportunity in life. But she knew that without pain, there is no gain. Our salvation was won through the blood and suffering of the Lamb of God. And your success in life will partly be young people. These are my friends. I see Laura out here and others that know that I love them, and I love teens, and I've been with them my whole life. And parents are there to help you through life. It doesn't seem that way sometimes, but they're looking for opportunities to shape you away from the sorrows they've endured and towards the joys that they've prospered in. And so she had me do that. Well, the rest of my life, I was involved in music to some extent and degree. And the Lord used that particular thing when he won me to himself to go out into the highways and byways all over this area to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was my mother's shaping and discipline and my father's support. He always said he was proud of my work in music, and I did a lot of stuff, but he was proud of my work that compelled me to continue to grow. Do not despise the disciplining of the Lord. A child left to himself will bring his mother shame, but my mother interacted with a very strong-willed young man to do that which was pleasurable in the sight of God. The rod and reproof, it says in Proverbs 29:15, give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. We have an obligation to shape the character and will. Read the books. Take what you like, keep it. That which you don't like, throw out. But if it is the word of God, contemplate on it. Meditate on it. See how it fits. You know, some children, you guys know this, those of you that have a number of children, I could wink at one and they would begin to weep and cry. There was no need to discipline the sensitivity. You could say a word and that did it. For others, they're as tough as nails. They're determined. I love them. Those guys, they have so much going on in the boiler room of their heart. Some of you are in here this morning and you're quite successful at what you do, and I know it. But their will needs a shaping too, and how you do that is somewhat mysterious. But there has to be at times a loving confrontation with the will. And if we don't do it, the Lord in his love will do it. I was in seventh grade. No, let's use this one. A young man was being bad in school. He was being a bit of a nightmare. His parents get a note at home about what this kid is doing. He's, say, junior high school. Now, these are responsible parents. The father was a minister. He traveled a significant amount, so this one was going to come to mom's house. She wasn't much on corporal punishment. That wasn't her thing. Whatever you think of that, she didn't employ it in this instance. She employed something much more terrifying. Hear me now. She was going to, listen, go, and he knew she meant it, to every single class he was in, every single lunchroom, 2 feet behind him, engage in every conversation he was involved in, and be a part of a full day with him at school. Well, I'll tell you what. Talk about inspiration. That guy pulled together like that. And all his teachers noticed it. I did the same thing. I was just that same kid. You know, my father, Colonel Marinko, oh my gosh. They get this thing on my report card where everything is bad in the deportment side. Thought I could get away with it. They made me go back to, and some of you have heard this before, to every single teacher. And apologize to each teacher. Humiliating rather than that humbling. Disciplinary. There was no spanking. There was not, you're going to the naughty chair or whatever the thing was, you're not going to do 700 million push-ups. No. It's you're going to go back and humble yourself. So I went back to all of them. It was horrible to have to do. They all checked the thing off pretty much in disbelief that there was going to be any change. And I just saw my report card from this time, kind of in preparation for this. And they said, one in particular said, the change in Bill has been remarkable. He is a joy to have in the classroom. The guy I spoke to you about earlier was James Dobson. His teachers told the same things to his parents. Love disciplined, but it wasn't harsh. It was wise and it was prudent. It takes creativity to be a parent. And God has a fix, we say in AA, a fix to fix you with. There are ways that he can use to shape your character. The Bible says the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. My parents would warn me, don't hang out with these kids. They did not have an evangelical view of life, nor at that time did I. There were kids that were getting in trouble. And rather than leave me to myself and just let me do what I wanted to do, they tried to tone me back me off, and move me to more tender climates. And then I would hear my friends talk about the beer bottles clinking in their back rooms and yards, and the sorrows and the infidelities and all this that they were experiencing in their life. And as a young man, say 14 years of age, I could see, and I'm talking to you about a confirmation of my parents' warnings, that these kids were hurting, and they're going to drag you down into that unless you step away. I wasn't called to win them. I needed to win myself first. The Lord win me, if you will. Discipline your son and he will give you rest, it says in Proverbs 29:17. He will give delight to your heart. Delight to your heart. Who doesn't want that from your son or daughter? Delight to your heart. I see some children in this room, they give a delight to my heart. There's something going on out here with these kids. Pray for them. In a week they go off to camp. Colonel Roberts is going to be talking to them. But some of them are amazing, and some of them are becoming amazing in terms of capturing the Word of God and then going into the highways and byways, the schools in different places, and being salt and life. It's a beautiful thing, and I'm grateful for your work and that you allow them to be part of these Christian activities. I told you just a few weeks ago, so I'll make this very brief, but I'm trying to be repetitive. I'm a coach. Repetition is the mother of knowledge. It's an important thing. Teddy Roosevelt, one of the great men of American history, without any question, read his biographies. He's with his dad. He worships his dad in a sense, not in the sense of religious worship, but in the sense of admiration. His dad spanked him one time in his life. He had such a respect and admiration for his father, who was a powerful man. But he was so powerful that he did not feel that he had to use the physical. He used the love of God that was in his heart. There was a saying, and forgive me if this is offensive, I'm kind of tired of all the crazy rules we have today. There was something in the father's face that was so gentle as a tender mother. There was that side of him that the children knew, but there was another side of him. He was a huge man and a powerful man and a fearless man that no one would dare trifle with. Teddy Roosevelt said the only man he ever feared in his life was his dad, and his dad had corporally punished him one time in his life. Amazing, isn't it? Just amazing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will delight to your heart. Give delight to your heart, it says in Proverbs 29:17. In Ephesians, a famous passage is, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Most of the time, your children will memorize a certain portion of this. Let me start it again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. In the Lord, not the crazy thing your alcoholic Uncle Sam comes in and asks you to do or anything like that. In the Lord, for this is right, obey them. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. A promise? That promise is a present. It's a gift for all time, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. What do we want of life that's better than that? That it may go well with me, and that I may live long in the land. I believe to the degree and extent that I followed my parents' instructions, and they did not micromanage my life. They were tender, but when they saw me going off track, they would try to shape my will. I have experienced success to the degree that I obeyed God's holy word. Children often wise and biblical children often come back with this one. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Dads, we have a weighty responsibility, and that is not to be harsh, to be self-controlled and loving, to show more sorrow than anger. I failed that test miserably. But I love my kids, and I think they know that. I'll leave it at that. Maybe I should have read the picture Bible more. Hebrews 12:15, I think this is one of our last passages. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son who in me receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? And if you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you're illegitimate sons and children and not sons. Beside this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Let me just jump down as I conclude. For the moment, all discipline, whatever we do, whatever we're exposed to in life as adults, all discipline is painful. The boss says we need to do this, whatever. The coach says you need to do that. It's painful rather than pleasant. But later, have faith, later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Oh, Lord, let that peaceful fruit, and yes, orchestra, if you could come forward, let that peaceful fruit go forward. And Lord, if there's one here that needs to know that you love them tenderly and gently, that you're not cruel and heartless in disciplining them and allowing them to go through difficult things, but Lord, you're tender and compassionate. You're full of love, and we thank you and praise you for that. If you've never received Jesus Christ, he's here right now. The Bible says he that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just call on him. Call on Jesus. Come into my life. Fix me. Make me like your son. He'll hear that prayer and save you.